I saw his entire face drop. I knew that moment. I had seen it on countless grass feds over the years. I had worn it myself. It was the moment you realized everything you thought was true about the world wasn't. It was the moment you realized this fight they sucked you into wasn't about what you thought it was. Sure, it was a damned good fight, and we had to do it. But it was not as bright and shiny as it looked on television, and if you did survive, maybe you didn't feel so good about yourself afterward. Maybe you'd done things you weren't proud of. Maybe you turned your back on your fellow Marine in order to save your own hide. I watched that moment settle on Billy, and I knew it would swallow him up if I didn't stop it, if I didn't pull him out. "Your father loved gummy bears," I said, sighing and following the red line as it directed us up a sandhill in the distance. "What?" He looked over at me with his mouth agape. "Don't look so surprised," I shrugged. "You said you wanted to know some stuff about your father. I'm telling you what I can remember." His voice cracked as he asked, "About gummy bears?" "Yeah, you know, the candies. Shaped like damn bears, come in a lot of different flavors." "I know what they are," Billy answered. I never knew that." "Oh yeah," I continued. "Your dad couldn't get enough of the stuff. He used to have a plastic bag of those damn things everywhere he went. They're not a part of the regimented diet as you go through training. Processed sugar is the devil and all that. But your dad used to sneak plastic bags of them into the barracks." I smiled. Not that he'd share. I think he gave me one of them in all the time we knew each other. "You know," he said, looking over at me, "I used to think my mother was lying when she told me that my dad knew Mark Ryder, that he'd worked alongside him. I used to think she wrote those letters herself so that maybe I'd think my dad was a hero. So that when I saw other kids playing catch in the park with their fathers, I'd know there was a good reason that mine wasn't there." He shook his head, and I saw tears in the boy's eyes. "She wasn't lying, though, was she? He really was a hero?" A pang of guilt ran through me, and not just because this kid's father was dead. The truth was, I had no idea whether that gummy bear story was about Bill Langham or not. He was a good man, and I had always thought of him as my friend. But I remembered the action and not the identity. That story could have been about any number of men I knew in my first year here, about any number of now dead boys. The thing I told him next, though, that was absolutely the honest-to-God truth. "Every man and woman who puts on one of these suits is a hero, son." I put my hand on his shoulder, stopping us both in our tracks midway up the hill. "Your dad was, and you are too. You gotta remember that. You gotta believe it. Acting like a hero is what makes you one. But believing you're a hero is what makes you act like one. Get it?" He didn't have time to answer before Annabelle chimed in.
"Lieutenant Ryder,"
Annabelle's voice sounded in my head,
"I'm afraid there's been a miscalculation."
"Miscalculation?" I asked, my hand tightening instinctively atop Billy's shoulder. I didn't like the sound of that. "A miscalculation got you killed out here."
"A shielding frequency has been put in place throughout various parts of this moon. My system has only now been able to identify and disable it. My initial report on your safety was exaggerated. I'm afraid your enemy is closer than expected."
"Really?" I muttered. "How close are they?"
"Rather than give you an exact distance, I'll simply make a suggestion. Look up."
My head shot up, and right over us were three of the largest flyers I had ever seen in my life. Large with huge heads, hulking bodies, and flapping translucent wings. In their clawed feet hung a trio of women. My heart raced. Artemis. 10.
"Oh my God,"
Billy muttered from beside me, and I could practically hear him wetting himself. One look at the flyers and all the work I'd done to calm him down and stop him from sliding into panic drifted away like dust in the wind. "They've got them," he babbled on, terror thick in his tone. "They're flying away with them." He swallowed hard. "Do you think they're still alive?" "Shut up," I said flatly, looking up at the trio of flyers dotting the sky and the women dangling from their clutches. As they weren't in my command structure, I didn't get any vital information on their nameplates other than IWA Marine, Artemis Squad A, B, and C. They were moving, but they were too far away for me to be able to tell whether or not that was because they were struggling or because their lifeless bodies were simply swaying with emotion. It would make sense. Just like the people of Earth used an intercepted recording to boost morale. The bugs had been known to deposit the bodies of our fallen, when there was enough a person left to consider it a body, on the steps of one of their holy buildings or in front of one of their authority figures. Hell, sometimes they'd dump a human corpse right into a crowd, and all the bugs would cheer their black hearts out. Maybe that's what they were doing now. Maybe what I was watching was the end of a legend. The last chapter in Mina John's story, and as a footnote to that chapter, I was too damned late to do anything about it. "No," I muttered, my jaw tightening nervously. Luckily for me, I had someone in my head who could see a lot further and go a lot deeper than I would ever be able to. "Annabelle, run outward diagnostics," I commanded. "Tell me if those women are still alive, and if they are, what kind of condition they're in."
"Affirmative,"
Annabelle answered, all business. Someone must have accepted the information request, be it Della or Mina John or the suits themselves, because info popped up under the nameplates. No ID info yet, but body temperature, heart rate, and other vital health statistics flooded in.
"All three of the members of Artemis Squad are alive," Annabelle said, and I felt the cool rush of relief pass through me.
"Condition?" I could tell they were alive by the nameplate info, but Annabelle could give me more in-depth data.
"Minor internal injuries, broken bones, and dehydration, which is to be expected. Preliminary scans show nothing life-threatening."
You know, except for the fact that they're being held by three of the most dangerous creatures in the whole of the universe, I muttered.
"There is that. Though, to be fair, the universe is still, for the most part, a vast mystery to us. The chances of a bigger threat existing somewhere in the cosmos is roughly 79.5%.
With that blissful nugget of information in my head, I turned to Billy. "What kind of offensive weaponry do you have?" I asked, looking over at the younger man.
"A stun cannon, a robestarang, and a chomper cloud," he said, looking from the flyer to me expectantly.
The Alliance love to give their weapons all sorts of fantastic names, especially nowadays, and went along with all the flashy graphics, rankings, and coin awards. Anything to make you spend more coin for what they offered to the Marines. The Robustarang was just a high-tech boomerang, using inertial guidance and gravitic engines to guide it back to its thrower and magnify its impact. The Chomper Cloud especially was a stupid name, but it was apt. It created a mist of consumptive nanites that ate any kind of matter, even the gas in the air, and turned those raw materials into a crude but effective net of raw polymer. "Buy a neo-lasso," I commanded quickly, looking back up at them. If we didn't do something quickly, they would get away, and they'd take the Artemis Squad with them. "Got enough coin for that?"
"Yes, but..."
"Don't. Don't tell me about how you were saving up to buy out of your contract, or that it's always been your dream to live on a houseboat, or that your saint of a mother wants new pearls. We won't make it out of this if you don't do exactly as I say, and neither will those women. Do you understand me?"
"Yes, Mark."
I watched his eyes flash blue, indicating he connected with the Alliance Central Store.
"Download commencing," he said. "It'll be complete in 3, now 2 seconds.
"Good," I said, thinking. One of the great benefits of nanotech to us Marines was the ability to make weapon modifications and combinations on the fly, a benefit we were about to abuse. Fuse the lasso with the chomper cloud and connect the rang to the end of it, then toss it up toward the flyers, but miss them wide.
"Miss them?"
he asked, narrowing his still blue eyes at me.
You do that, and the Rang will send the lasso right back to you. The chomper cloud will activate, and it'll create a circular net of polymer around them, trapping them inside and eating at any bugs that try to escape. You're going to make a plastic fence? He asked, confused. No, you're going to make the electric fence. I'm just going to make sure I'm trapped inside with them when you do. Oh, my God, he stammered. You say that a lot, don't you? I guess I just keep waiting for him to help, Billy admitted. The Lord helps those who help themselves, I said, repeating something my grandmother used to tell me back when I thought the world was a much simpler place. Now get that damn lasso out. What are you going to do? He asked as his eyes reverted, telling me the download was complete. I'm going to fly, Billy boy. I looked back up into the sky. I'm also going to kill some bugs, and with any luck, I'm going to save 3 pretty badass women. I cleared my throat. Annabelle, thrust, wait, Billy shouted, holding his hands out in front of him to stop me. What if I can't do it? What if I can't aim the lasso and it doesn't work or something? I could get you killed. I could get you both killed. I could be the guy who kills Mark Ryder and Mina John. Or you could be the guy who cracks the world in half, or the guy who cures cancer, I replied. Anything is possible, kid. We do what we do because we have to do it. All we can hope is that the people beside us do their best. I nodded. And I believe you'll do your best. Besides, you're not alone. What's your suit named? Hector, he answered. Really? I said, squinting. Poor bastard. Hector's connected to your brain. He'll help you. He'll make sure it goes down the right way. I turned away from him. Now get it done. Okay, he answered. Looking up at the flyers with their flapping insect wings, exoskeletons, and long appendages that ended in sharp, curved claws, their nameplates popped up as my targeting systems locked on. Akburian Flyer, they read, and lucky me. A pop-up told me they had an Alliance bounty special on them today, an extra 10,000 coins per kill. I took a deep breath. Annabelle, lower thrusters on, and plot a course toward those ugly bastards. Affirmative, and might I say, she continued as the thrusters in my feet turned on. That was quite the pep talk. You know me, I said as the force of the thrusters lifted me from the ground below. I'm a goddamn inspiration. I roared through the air toward the flyers. I was always surprised at how quiet the suit could be, even when it was doing amazing things, like lifting the 200-pound man inside of it clean off the ground and shooting him toward his target like an arrow with fingernails and a love for tequila. It barely made a peep. Lowering thruster intensity by 15%, Annabelle told me as I leveled off into the air. Might I suggest some long-range weaponry? You're a woman after my own heart, Annabelle, I said. But I can't shoot yet. I'm not a woman at all, Lieutenant Ryder, she answered. Are you afraid you'll miss? Don't insult me like that, sweet thing. We both know I'm the best shot on either side of the Milky Way. I just have to wait until the kid gets the lasso up. I need him to be clear-headed and vigilant when it happens.
When what happens, Lieutenant Ryder? Annabelle asked.
When I do it. When I kick some flyer ass, and these women start dropping out of the sky. I looked at the three of them, still held by the flyers. I knew nothing about the other two, but Mina John, the middle one, if I was visually judging the suits correctly, was capable. If she was half as capable as the story said, she'd have known that enough thrust in the opposite direction would have freed her from the grasp of these flyers. With that knowledge, I had to assume part of her suit system was down. She must have found herself in a trap, too, thrown down into something custom designed to take her out, which meant she likely couldn't fly. If her suit was suffering from that malfunction, it stood to reason that all of Artemis Squad was dealing with the same issue. A drop from this height would reduce them to tin-wrapped blood and guts, even with shielding on. Luckily, the lasso cloud Billy was about to create would serve as something of a netting. It would basically trap us all in a giant suspended plastic bag like we were goldfish some kid had just won at a county fair. I moved closer. close enough that I began to be afraid the flyers would see me. While I didn't mind going hand to claw with the bastards, that would mess up my plans right quick. Annabelle, initiate camouflage.
Thermal, visual, or energy signature?
She asked into my head. I'm feeling frisky. How about all three?
Affirmative.
A tingle ran through me, and I saw a shimmer of light pass over my eyes. In an instant, I was invisible to both the bugs and the people carrying them. Normally, I would connect with the Artemis leader and let her know what was going on, but Annabelle still wasn't receiving anything from Mina's communication device. That must have been damaged, too. Luckily, my communications with Billy were up and running, so I could talk him through what he needed to do. Billy, I said, I know you can't see me anymore, but trust that I'm bridging the gap. Rangs have a pretty wide range, so I want you to wait 3 seconds and then toss it. Once the barrier is in place, and these things have nowhere to run, I'm gonna take them out. I thought about that for a second. How insane it must have sounded to a grass-fed like Billy for me to actually want to trap myself in a confined space with these things. That was the job, though, and it was time to go to work. Say affirmative, so I knew you heard me, damn it.
Sorry,
he said nervously. Affirmative, sorry. It's okay, kid, I said, silently speeding up and bridging the gap between us. Now that I was closer, I could see how much two of the three armored people were struggling. The third hung still in the center, body swaying with the breeze. Since Annabelle had assured me that all three were alive, I'd have bet my right hand that the calm one was Mina. I'd have done the same thing. No sense in wasting your energy when you're in a situation you can't escape from.
One,
I heard Billy shout, finishing his countdown. The Rang flew through the air, crackling with the cloud-infused lasso behind it. It rushed toward us, and for the first time, the flyers, and presumably the people they carried, caught sight of us. I held my breath as the Rang arced toward us, and looking at it, I immediately knew something was wrong. It was supposed to miss wide, far enough away so that the circle it took encompassed a lot of us. It was too close, though. It was far too close. The Rang slammed into the first flyer, slashing into the thing and filling it with all the energy from the cloud-infused lasso. It shook and convulsed as the nanites went to town eating it, forcing it to drop the poor girl it was carrying. And instead of initiating her thrusters, she flailed and plummeted toward the ground below. 11. I watched as the armored woman plummeted helplessly toward the ground. I was right to assume her thrusters weren't working, and even though Billy's suit came standard with them, I didn't imagine he was in any mental condition to catch her anyway. He had totally screwed up the toss. A real feat considering how precise the internal targeting mechanisms in our suits are. He must have really overcompensated for distance or something. Whatever the reason, it let me know the most important lesson I could ever learn about the man. He might have been kind, well-meaning, and even brave when it came down to it, but I couldn't count on him in a crunch. That one thing, unfortunately, meant more than all the others put together. I cursed under my breath and did some quick math in my head. Given the trajectory of where I was and how far this woman had fallen, I was going to have to move almost impossibly quick if I was going to have a chance at saving her. Luckily for me, almost impossible wasn't entirely impossible. I could work with that. Annabelle, I started. Divert all energy into lower thrusters. I need to get to that woman before she's turned into a crushed soup can on the ground.
While jarring, that visual is inaccurate,
she saw fit to explain.
A soup can dropped from height at which this female is falling would explode on impact. Her suit would remain intact. Unfortunately, the same cannot be said of her vital organs or bodily integrity. Also, diverting the energy to thrusters would require deactivating your camouflage.
Which was computer talk for the bugs would be able to see me. It wasn't ideal, but the plan had gone to shit anyway. We were outside of winning the fight and struggling to salvage, surviving the moment. Thanks for the input, Annabelle, but I...
Don't care,
she finished for me.
I figured as much. Power has already been diverted to your thrusters. Prepare for boosted speed in 0.7 seconds.
You know me too well, I muttered. But as the last word left my mouth, my body flung forward hard. I shot off like a now visible rocket, aimed straight at the ground. I was moving so quickly it became hard for me to think, hard for me to see, and impossible for me to react once I had the woman in my arms. Of course, to worry about that, I actually needed to get to the woman first. Because I was moving too fast to properly speak, Annabelle was running by my brain's impulses. My vision shifted as she turned on a sonar overlay. This was a relatively new upgrade, and one that I purchased off-planet before I took down a nest of sand dwellers almost single-handedly. The Alliance wanted to give me a medal for that, to showcase it on television, and plaster my mug on postage stamps as a sort of planetary hero. I declined. I didn't like people staring at me, and I really didn't want to be the face that convinced people to join this fight. It wasn't that I was ashamed of what I was doing or even what I had done in the past. People called me a soldier, a marine, and a fighter. In truth, I was a killer. We all were, and if this war had taught me anything, it was that every living creature under our sun or any other had the capacity to be a killer inside of them. It wasn't because we were bad or evil in some way. It was because, as a rule, people are selfish, especially when it comes to survival. We might have love in our hearts. We might even like to think life is complicated on a fundamental level. We tell ourselves stories and sing ourselves songs to make the minutiae of what we deal with on a day-to-day basis seem important and lyrical. We like to think our moves are predestined because it makes us feel important. The hard truth, and it is hard, is that we're animals. We, like the dogs we keep at the feet of our beds or the birds we cage so we can hear them sing us to sleep, long for nothing more than the continuation of our own lives. We would do anything, give anything, and fight anything to make sure our lives didn't end. We would kill without prejudice if it came down to it, and then, when it was over, we would spin a narrative to tell ourselves that doing it was the right thing. You see, they got the sonar technology from dolphins, the only living earthbound creatures that use more of their brains than we do. They pulled those poor, magnificent bastards out of the ocean and sliced into their brains until they found out what made them tick, so they could give it to us. I had thought there was something dirty about that the first time I heard it. In fact, the thought crossed my mind not to even take the upgrade, to serve as a kind of one-man protest of the way the Alliance had acted. I mean, if we just scourged the planet and took what we wanted and needed from it, how would that make us different from the bugs? They wanted to dig into our planet and kill it just to get the precious metals beneath. How long before we ended up killing the planet and trying to save it? No, not it. We don't give a damn about the planet, really. We did it to save ourselves, to prolong our existence. I had a feeling that, if we could do so, we'd move the whole damned lot of us onto space stations and let the bugs have our little water rock at the edge of the universe. We didn't, though, and we likely never would. So we did use what we had to from the Earth. And yes, I did use what I had to from the dolphins. And I was damned glad I did. The sonar sight kicked into gear and, from the sounds of the falling woman's screams, as well as the sound of the air around her as it collided with her suit on the way down, I could tell where she was going. I could see the path she would take on the way down, including the spot where she'd slam into the ground. It would be close enough to Billy's feet that he could theoretically save her. But he wouldn't. At this moment, he was standing there, looking up like an idiot, lamenting the mistake he'd made. I'd have to verbally slap him out of that. Having the kid mourn one error, regardless of how big, was a quick way to an early grave. I didn't have time to deal with that right now, though. I needed to save the first of Artemis squad before I could turn my attention to Mina, John, and her other squad mate. My body shot toward the ground, swooping into the line of the path the woman was predicted to take. I twisted quickly, arms open as the woman slammed into me. Her weight, combined with the weight of her suit, landed against my chest. I latched on quickly while allowing Annabelle to adjust our arc through the air to compensate for the force of catching her, so she wouldn't get sliced in half from the impact or some such nonsense. Spinning back around, I saw we were nearly on the ground. At the speed we were both now going, we'd be a crater in seconds. "Reverse thrust," I cried.
"Negative. Doing so would break every bone in your body. There's also a 37% chance your eyes would be liquidated. Perhaps intensive shielding would be the better choice."
I took a breath. Intensive shielding would help, though it likely wouldn't stop every bit of damage good old Annabelle would take from a fall like this. Still, it was better than countless broken bones and useless, melted eyes.
"Do it!"
Before the words left my mouth, the shield roared up around the both of us. Annabelle must have still been reacting to my brain impulses. We slammed hard against the ground, grinding into the rock and sand and driving at such a speed that I began to smell the metal of my suit burning in response to the friction. Or maybe that was the woman's. Probably both. "Hold on," I told the woman. If she responded, I didn't hear it. By the time we slid to a stop, we were both in a long ditch of my creation. The world was darker down here, the sunlight barely reaching us. I found myself lying on top of her as the shield receded. Her suit was heavy, but form-fitting, the way all our suits were. She was warm to the touch, and I saw her chest rise and fall in rapid, shallow breaths. The dark faceplate on her mask turned colorless, revealing a striking face, bright green eyes, a pair of pouty lips pressed into a grimace, and a cap of red hair barely visible beyond the confines of her helmet.
"Mark Ryder?"
she asked, those bright green eyes narrowing as they took me in.
"You're Mark Ryder?"
"I am," I answered. "I came here to help you. Are you all right?"
"For now,"
she said in a raspy voice.
"But you didn't help us, Lieutenant Ryder. We were captured on purpose, and I think what you've done has signed our death warrants."
12. I lay atop the woman, her green eyes staring daggers at me, her arms wrapped around my waist, a product of the fear and exhilaration we both obviously felt during our descent and crash into the ground below. Her chest was still rising and falling sharply, and as I moved to respond to what she had just said, I felt her body wince under me.
"Are you hurt?"
I asked, even though her face showed no signs of discomfort. Unless, of course, you counted the obvious disdain she had for me as discomfort. It was strange. This woman had to still be in her early 20s. Her features were still bright, still supple. The angst of years had not yet set upon her, weighing her down and etching lines of worry, joy, or grief into her face. Usually when people of that age saw me, they lit up. They associated me with bedtime stories and golden age heroics. You know, all that crap that only exists to sell movie tickets and fill recruitment offices. Still, it wasn't all bad. I had never been the kind of guy who enjoyed being the center of attention. That wasn't to say it didn't have its perks, though. Young men often idolized me. On more than one occasion, I was told that by some starstruck kid from Wisconsin or Pennsylvania that they named their dog, cat, or damn horse after me. I swear, it was probably livestock bearing my name back on that spinning blue rock we called home. I understood it. They saw me as an important figure. Someone who, without knowing any of them personally, had helped shape their youth and guide them to the path they were now on. That had always rubbed me the wrong way. I took this job because I thought it was a job worth doing, not because I wanted to stand as some sterling example of what was or was not right. It wouldn't have made any sense. What I thought was right as a punk 17-year-old kid striding into a recruitment office certainly wasn't the same as what I thought was right now. Hell, what I thought was right last year probably wasn't the same as what I thought was right now. The war had changed. Either that or my perception of it had. The truth was, if it was up to me, I'd have told Billy Langham that his family had given enough to this cause. I'd have told him that his father wouldn't have wanted this for him. I'd have said that good old Bill Langham had told me himself that his damn dream in life was for his son to be an accountant or something boring like that. It was a lie, but it might have saved his life, and if that wasn't a good enough reason to lie, you're not gonna find one. I'd have told it to this woman, too, as she stared up at me with disdain in her eyes. I couldn't, though. I couldn't tell that to either of them. They were here, and if we didn't get our acts together, none of us were gonna make it out of this place. Suit says I bruised my rib cage and fractured my left arm, she answered with a sigh. Nothing that can't be fixed once we make it back to the Alliance Halls, but for the time being, I'm gonna run on painkillers. If we make it back, I said, feeling her arm still wrapped around me and wondering if that act was because she was still afraid or if moving them would just hurt too much. What did you mean when you said your squad was taken on purpose?
Exactly what I said.
Her pouting lips turned down at me. If we weren't wearing helmets, I would have felt her breath against my cheek.
We landed in a field of gravity mines. I got stuck to the ground, and Jill went flying up into the air. Mina was the only one who managed to dodge them.
That did not come as a shock to me. If Mina John's reputation was anywhere close to accurate, it'd take more than a gravity mine to take her out, even a field of them.
We were captured, she continued. You know how the mines are. One flash and they're gone, but it's not over then. Even with the suit's help, it takes 90 seconds for our bodies to adjust enough to be able to move. In that time, we saw the flyers coming. I begged for Mina to go, but she gave me this whole speech about not leaving any woman behind. Didn't help that the crash had screwed up our communications devices and thrusters, the woman nodded. Mina had a plan. Instead of leaving us, she was going to use the flyers to her advantage.
That seemed both far-fetched and outside the box. I couldn't tell whether I thought it was stupid or brilliant. There was a fine line between those two things. I heard a shot from overhead. Things were going south and quickly. I was gonna have to wait to hear what Mina's brilliant plan was until after I made sure she and her girl weren't demolished. Can you move? I asked. Are you capable of fighting, or do I need to send the kid to keep watch on you?
That would be the kid who just shot our entire plan to hell in a handbasket? She scoffed. Even if I couldn't move, I'd have better luck on my own.
He did the best he could, I answered, instinctively defensive as I pulled myself off her. It was a strange feeling. Usually I didn't give a damn about the people at my side. Sure, I wanted them to survive, and I wanted them to succeed, but I had learned a long time ago it was easier not to get to know the people you were tasked with working with. That way, when they died in front of you, you could go on without dissolving into a mess of tears, fear, and regret. Billy was a different case, though. He reminded me of someone I'd worked with before that realization. Someone who wormed their way through my defenses. I looked at this kid, and I saw his father. There was nothing I could do about that. Still, that sort of connection was the kind of thing I'd worked hard to avoid for a large portion of my career. I couldn't help but wonder if it would slow me down this time.
Bullshit, she growled. You were going for a seal and kill, right? That's why he combined the utilities the way he did?
Her mask pulled down as she stood, covering her striking face. Still, the tone of her voice told me she looked at me with knowing eyes and arched eyebrows.
It's a smart move, or at least it would have been if we actually wanted to kill them.
I extended my hand to her, and she balked at me in response. You've got no thrusters, I said, shaking my head and putting the ridiculous idea that they didn't want to kill the bugs on the back burner for a moment. So unless you want to claw your way out of the ditch we just dug, I suggest you take the help. I felt a rise in my chest. This woman was the first Marine to challenge my judgment in a long time. Most of them, young, pert, and enthused, hung onto my every word when they found out who I was. It was annoying as hell, but it came in handy when giving orders. You didn't backtalk your heroes. Guess this chick had a poster of someone else hanging on her bedroom wall. Reluctantly, she grabbed my hand and once again twisted herself around my body. I heard crashes from above us, from up at the surface, as her hands tied themselves behind my neck and her chest pressed against mine. "Diagnostics indicate elevated heart rate," Annabelle said into my head. "She's nervous," I muttered. "I wasn't referring to her," she replied. "Lower thrusters on," I grunted, "and extend shielding to cover both of us. I'm not sure what we'll be jumping into." My thrusters roared to life, and we lifted off the ground. As we took to the air, this Marine pressed herself more firmly against me, the gentle shaking of her body indicating that she was either nervous or in pain. Given her attitude toward me, it was unlikely I could help with either. So instead, I asked her about something else entirely. "Why wouldn't you want to kill these bastards?"
"Isn't it obvious? Our thrusters are shot, and our goal and extraction point is half a day's walk from here. We didn't kill them because we wanted to take them over."
Of course. They were going to use mental overrides to take control of the bug's nervous systems. Why didn't I think of that? No, that wasn't fair to me. I knew why I didn't think of it. It never came to mind because it was damned near impossible for even the more elevated and talented Marine to accomplish. Hell, the mechanisms and upgrades necessary for someone to even try that were so expensive that it was a rarity almost unheard of in this day and age, when most people wanted to buy out of their contracts as quickly as possible and then sink into a pension-fueled life of ease. Dampening a bug's neural activity enough to take it over was as delicate a process as any surgery, and doing so required just as much finesse as a surgeon might have. In fact, it was more dangerous than surgery. At least when a doctor was cutting into some poor bastard, there was no chance both of them were going to end up dead. You screw up trying a mental override, and both your damn brains explode. It wasn't for the faint of heart, and if you were asking me, it wasn't for the intelligent either. There were easier ways to get done what the Artemis squad wanted done. I couldn't think of any of them right now, but I was sure they were there. We bounded up to the surface and rested on the ground. Looking up, I saw that Billy's botched action had started a sort of firestorm. The middle woman of the Artemis squad, the one I assumed was Mina, had climbed up on the bug carrying her and was going to town on it with a glowing weapon that looked like a battle axe. The third woman, obviously the one this chick had referred to as Jill, was on the third flyer's back, pushing it toward the ground.
"Damn it,"
my rescuee muttered.
"This wasn't the plan."
"It rarely is," I answered. I heard a shout, and looking over to my left, my heart sank. There, sprawled on the ground with his hands sprawled feebly out in front of him as though they were going to save him, was Billy, and standing over him, with curved and pointed arms ready and willing to disembowel the boy, were two bugs, one of who was the flyer he had almost killed with his ring. Almost killed, but hadn't. The Chomper Cloud's nanites had been dispersed along the lasso, after all, and as a grass-fed with no kills under his belt, he doubtless had the lowest grade cloud. No wonder the flyer had lived. Now it seemed the tables had turned for the two, and if I didn't act quickly, Billy was going to go the way of his father. 13. I looked over at Billy, at the creatures about ready to skewer him like a 4th of July hot dog. Staring at him for just an instant before reacting, it became clear to me just how out of his depth he was with all of this. He was a helpless kid, defenseless in the face of our enemies, and that pissed me off. I wasn't mad at the bugs, per se, though in truth I was always mad at the damn bugs. Who comes all the way across galaxies just to screw with someone else's planet? Still, evil is as evil does. And being upset with them is like being upset with Satan or being afraid of creepy clown posters. It was just a given.
Now, as my eyes glazed over at a boy who was almost certainly dead, the brunt of my ire went to the Alliance itself. For years, a certain sentiment had floated around in my head, and now it was hardening, cementing into undeniable truth. Ever since the Alliance changed up their systems, relegating points and holding the reins of who was given what and how much things that would save your damn life were supposed to cost, they had also done something else. They had turned their training program to shit. When I was younger and coming up through the ranks, things were different. We had Akbarian samples, actual bugs to fight in controlled situations. We would go at them, see what they're all about, how they moved, and the way they reacted when pushed into a corner. If things got too bad, then the little collar on their necks or arms would go off, putting them down until we can get our bearings or until the next group of trainees came in, looking to learn. That wasn't how they did things anymore. That stuff was too expensive. Time was too precious, and honest to God, I think they might have stopped caring. Everything was VR now. Lifelike simulations of bugs in the field. I remembered when the Alliance came out with it. The way they patted themselves on the back for such revolutionary technology that would stop the abuse of Akbarian captives everywhere. I couldn't believe it. First, they were even stupid enough to think that they could decipher the way a bug would act in real time. I mean, if we could reasonably wrap our heads around their actions, then we'd have a better chance of winning this war. As it was, we weren't exactly ahead in the struggle. Secondly, and this one really ground my gears, I couldn't believe there was a growing sentiment of people who threw themselves on the sword and petitioned for Akbarian rights. They came to the Alliance embassies on Earth, holding signs that said capturing and testing on the bugs made us the same as our enemies, or that it was the opposite of what it means to be human. Those always made me chuckle. Not because I thought we couldn't be like them. I could easily see a future where humans, desperate and without hope, would venture off to another planet with the intent on settling there and throwing its ecosystem out of whack. Hell, it was a definite talking point with the United Nations when the bug showed up. No, I laughed at the outraged protesters because they hadn't seen what I'd seen. From their cushy apartments or cottage homes, they didn't know what I knew. The thing they were fighting, the idea that we would somehow become less human in our fight with these creatures, it was the thing that was going to make it possible for us to win. The bugs taught their young well. They taught them to fight above all things, to be ruthless and merciless, and to look at your opponent as less than you and, because of that, undeserving of the resources that all this started over. It made sense. I mean, if you and a cat were going to die of thirst in the desert, and you only had a canteen of water between you, would anyone really protest you taking the whole damn thing? The bugs thought that way. It was why they didn't flinch. It was why they didn't hesitate, and it was why, if I didn't get to him in a hurry, Billy was going to die where he lay. Annabelle, lower thrusters on and send Alpha Force shielding to Billy's suit, I commanded, rushing toward him, the fire at my feet lifting me upward and sending me shooting toward the bug. Even this wouldn't be quick enough, though. The monster was already moving, its spiked arm rushing towards Billy's chest, but the energy from my suit to his would travel at the speed of light. Negative, Annabelle answered. PFC Langham's suit doesn't have the necessary receptors to complete that task. No necessary receptors? My heart sank so far and so fast, I was sure it now lay in broken shards in the pit of my stomach. When I was coming up, receptors were standard, part of the core suit package. Now they were an upgrade, an add-on from a greedy corporation in the business of selling safety to those with the balls to put it all out there to save their planet. God damn it, I cried, watching as one of the thing's arms careened toward the boy's chest. Maybe I can reach him in time. Cover me, the girl cried, already pushing away from me and sprinting across the dunes toward Billy. Part of me was impressed with her moxie,
especially since she had a broken arm and bruised ribs and a whole hell of a lot of other problems. But for the moment, I didn't care. If she was willing to go after that bug and help me save Billy, that was all that mattered. Annabelle, photon cannon and pinpoint accuracy upgrade, I said, swallowing hard. In half an instant, the blue screen of the Alliance storefront appeared on my line of sight. I already had the damn cannon. It had cost me a pretty penny a few years ago, but it helped me take out a nest of these bastards when nothing else I did seemed to work. With comms back online, it would only take a microsecond to load it up. Unfortunately, the pinpoint accuracy upgrade didn't seem necessary then. Why would you need to be accurate when you're going to blast your way through 40 of the creatures? I just aimed, shot, and was done with it. In the end, I was surrounded by shards of exoskeleton and thick black goo. That wouldn't be the case here. At this moment, with Billy's life on the line, I would have to be sure. This thing was already moving, its body committed to an action that even its death wouldn't stop. I could shoot the son of a bitch in the chest, and there was still a good chance his spear of an arm would pierce Billy's heart anyway. No, I needed to take out the means of the piercing. I needed to blow off the arm, and to do that, I needed to be accurate. Otherwise, it would be me and not the bug who is the death of this kid. Fortunately, the store responded purely to mental commands, so it instantly brought up what I wanted. What I saw made the bile rise in my throat. Alpha-grade photon cannon upgrade. Pinpoint targeting. Shoot out a bug's eye at 1,000 yards. Never miss again. Yours for only 150,000 coins. Fucking extortion. That was over a month's work at normal pay rates for my rank, and over 100 standard bug kills. Even the flyer bonus bounty wouldn't even begin to cover the fact that this would eat over half my reserves in one go. It didn't matter. I bought it with a flicker of a thought, and it was instantly uploaded onto the cannon, which appeared on my arm as quick as I thought it. The accuracy upgrade went into effect. The world became pixels in my HUD. Millions of dots I could pick out and separate. My target, the tip of the bug's arm, became a pixel too, and just like that, I could pick it out. It was moving quickly, sure, but so was my mind's eye. I was moving right along with it. A single pixel floating around with millions. A single pixel that would save this boy's life. The girl was rushing toward Billy, running as fast as her legs would carry her. Undoubtedly, she could handle herself, having just saved her aside. No one runs toward a pair of bugs unless they know what they're doing, unless they're confident they can handle themselves. That meant all I had to do was deal with one. Lock onto target. Fire cannon, I said, gritting my teeth as I commanded Annabelle. Affirmative. A pulse shot from the weapon now strapped to my hand. An orb of bright, coherent photons went careening out of the cannon, pushing me backward just a little with the force of the shot. It was a strong sensation, but a familiar and a sweet one. Anytime I felt this, it meant I was either in the middle of, or about to start, kicking some bug ass. As the shot fired, I sped up, directing more energy into my thrusters. I wanted to reach the bug just as it was exploding, make sure that Billy would make it, regardless of how effective that girl was. I watched as the pulse flew through the air, and then cursed aloud when the bug flung himself out of the way, missing it. Luckily, it wasn't all for naught. The flyer had slammed into the other one as he leapt away from the blast, knocking it backward and away from Billy. With any luck, that would give either the girl or me time to get to deal with the insect, or, with any luck, it might give Billy the second or two he needed to gather himself. Though, judging from the look on his face, I wasn't counting on it. Better than that, this cannon was fitted with both a tracker upgrade and a light bender. Targeting the bugs, the standard bug next, now furthest to the left, all I had to do was say, revert blast, and the pulse would turn back to its intended target. And that's just what I did. The photon blast slammed into the bug this time, reducing it to goo and bits. Well, that was 1,000 coins to make up for what I had just spent. Billy screamed as the shot disintegrated the mass over him. I was going to have to harden him up a little after this. Of course, I'd have to deal with the downed flyer first. Glaring at it, I gritted my teeth. Lock on the target. I never got to finish the word. A blast of something hit me, knocking me off course and sending me flying away from Billy and his bug assailant. Fortunately, Annabelle was in good enough shape to absorb the worst of it, but the pixels that made up my vision scrambled and meshed into an ever-changing mess of light and dark colors. I slammed into the ground again, rolling over again and again, until I grabbed at the ground and pulled myself to a stop. Disable pinpoint accuracy, I choked out, breathing heavy.
Affirmative. May I suggest alpha shielding?
Annabelle asked. Don't just suggest it, I grunted as the world shifted back into place in front of me. Fucking do it.
Language, Lieutenant Ryder.
She cooed as the shield covered me in a protective wrapping. Another blast hit me, knocking me back a little, but, thanks to Annabelle, not doing any real damage. I stood quickly, blinking and looking forward. I didn't need to look at this thing or read its nameplate to know what I was fighting. It would simply say, Akbarian Flyer, Stinger Class, Bounty 5,000 Coins. They were a subset of the Flyer family of bugs. A striped aberration with pointed thorn-like protrusions up and down its body. It was the only bug known to the Alliance database capable of producing these kinds of concussive blasts, which meant two things. First, I was about to face off with one of the deadliest bugs there was, and, more importantly, the three flyers I'd seen earlier weren't all we were dealing with. Rage pulsated in me. I had just been rudely knocked off course, and, more than that, it might have resulted in the death of my partner. Worse, I couldn't even try to help him until I dealt with this thing. Normally, that'd mean Billy was as good as dead, but I wasn't the only one trying to save him. The girl was here, too, and with any luck, she might be worth a goddamn. Of course, that didn't matter if I couldn't take down this thing first. Looking up at the insect, I took stock of it. The nameplate read exactly as I thought, but hey, looked like the Alliance Bounty Special on flyers added onto the Stinger Bounty. Small comfort those 15,000 coins would be. I had seen maybe three Stingers in all of my travels and missions thus far. They were a rare breed of Akbarian. So rare, in fact, that we didn't have all the information on them. All we knew for sure was that they were big, ugly, and could create concussive long-range blasts. That capability alone made them more of a threat than most, since it was nearly impossible to shoot them down with ranged weapons. They had a way of slipping around the blasts like a goddamn living eel. Now, every time anyone had taken one down, it had been from behind while it was killing some poor schmuck. Luckily for me, I wasn't most. And long-range weapons? Well, that was never very satisfying anyway. This particular stinger looked bigger than the others I had seen. I had no way of knowing whether or not this was large for a stinger, but when I told the stories of how I killed it, I would be sure to say it was the largest one ever recorded. I had never killed a stinger before. Only a handful of Marines working today in the Alliance ever had. It was a sore spot on my otherwise amazingly well-rounded record. And though I was still royally pissed off about the attack, I was excited to finally have one of them on my kill sheet. You know what they say about clouds and silver linings. Annabelle, I said, glaring at the thing as it neared me, at its quickly flapping wings and hands glowing with green energy.
Would you like to reinstate your cannon?
No, it won't work, I answered, knowing the only chance I had to take this thing down was to go old school. Give me the damn Warhammer. I took a breath as it appeared in my hands. I could almost feel the sweet release of the bug's head crushing under the weight of my steel. It took that moment to fly toward me. Half a second from now, I would strike, with the damn thing close enough to make the blow fatal. One and done. Then this damn creature would be on my mantle. I just had to hope Billy would live that long. One. I reared back. Two. I tightened my grip on the hammer. A blast of red energy slammed into the creature, ripping through it and rendering it a mess of black goo and organs on the ground. I turned quickly, looking for the source of the attack, of the person who'd just stolen a long-awaited kill for me. Standing to my left, in a skin-tight red and black suit with her arms stretched outward and a psionic bow and arrow glowing at her knuckles, was a woman who stood with such confidence and grace that I knew it could only be one person. Nina John, I grunted, still peeved at her.
Mark Ryder, she answered lightly. You can call me Lieutenant, she continued. Oh, and you're welcome.
14. That was mine, I said, looking at Mina John and referring to the kill she'd just stolen from me. The woman was a sight. Long legs, an hourglass figure, and a pert chest. She strode over to me, her hips twisting so much I was afraid they might break.
If it was yours, you'd have had it, she answered plainly. You were too slow.
Hope that's not a running theme or anything. I was hoping that, if I ever met you, you'd live up to the hype. She shook her head.
Don't tell me I'm wrong.
A strange sensation piqued me as I looked at her, at her olive skin, her dark eyes, and beauty mark that rested on her right cheekbone, all visible through her transparent faceplate. She was challenging me. No, that wasn't right. To challenge, a person has to think of you as worthy of their time. She was sizing me up first, curious as to whether or not I fit that bill. On paper, it should have pissed me off. I was Mark Ryder, for Christ's sake. I was a living legend, a man who needed no introduction, as someone who had nothing to prove to anyone. It didn't piss me off, though. Something about the way the woman was looking at me, as though she had seen me without my clothes on and was still trying to decide whether or not she liked it, took me back to my first days with the Alliance. It had been such a long time since anyone had come at me with anything other than reverence that having to prove myself again was actually a little refreshing. Not that I had the luxury of being refreshed right now. I don't have time for this, I muttered, thinking of Billy and spinning quickly around. Lower thrusters.
Already on it,
Annabelle said, and I leapt into the air, shooting toward the spot where I'd last seen Billy and the bug who had in all likelihood ended him as I was getting my ass flung through the sky. Initiate photon cannon, I said, gritting my teeth together as I rushed through the air, my mind filled to the brim with the sort of horrible thoughts only someone who has been through the sort of war I've been fighting for years could understand. I braced myself, readying my eyes to once again rest on the corpse of a man who died too young. A boy who died for nothing. As I neared, though, I saw that there was more movement than I would have imagined from a scene where a bug had just murdered someone with ease. Two-thirds of the Artemis squad stood on either side of where Billy was laying, fighting off a few new bugs who had come along with the stinger. Luckily, I didn't see any other stingers in the group, just flyers and standard walkies. The girl I'd found myself laying atop in the ditch we'd made was in front of where Billy lay, a large rocket spear in her hand which she was using with the sort of precision that you would never get from a grass-fed. The other girl, Jill if memory served me right, was behind Billy. She had a pulse laser in her hands and was tearing through the flyers and walkies, her legs spread in a solid practice stance to brace the recoil of the weapon, even as her body jerked with the force of the gunfire. Billy wasn't moving, but he had to have still been alive. It didn't make sense for the ladies to protect a dead body. Get me diagnostics on PFC Langham, I said to Annabelle.
Affirmative, she answered.
A few moments passed as I cut through the sky like the bullet that had brought us here.
PFC Langham has a severe chest wound. He's losing blood at an alarming rate. Without assistance, he will expire in less than 3 minutes, Annabelle said,
her voice soft but showing none of the concern you'd expect from a person. Guess those humane upgrades hadn't come so far after all. I cursed under my breath. With that kind of wound, Billy wouldn't be able to defend himself. And without receptors to accept shielding, these women were his last line of defense. Well, unless you counted me. My head swam with anger and